This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy.
Hello, VFN family. We're going to be speaking on more on the justice of God. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And just kind of put your hand right there, or a bookmark right there. We're going to be talking about in the Word of God, where he says in Isaiah 59, when the Lord is seeing things happen that's displeasing to him, that's sinful, this darkness on the face of the earth, he says, no one calls for justice. No one calls for justice. And we're going to be talking about today is the fact that do we hear anybody calling for justice in what we're seeing going on right now? Or, you know, what is the answer right here? We're going to learn about the importance of crying out to God for justice today. Amen. Let's just bow our head in prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that the revelation, Lord, is helping it to cry out for an understanding of your justice, Lord. You're just revealing layer upon layer of your awesome justice, God. And I just pray, Father God, for each and every one who is hearing or watching this teaching today on VFN TV, God, that you would just touch their hearts and help them to see that you're a just God, and you're the one who justifies, and you're the one who is able to do this because you're righteous and your ways are right, Father God. I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, first I want to talk about, you know, back in 2007, when the Lord laid on my heart to be able to speak a prophetic word, he gave me this prophetic word about this coming storm, and it was on me. I began to deliver. I said in the beginning of January 2007, I said this fall of this year of 2007, there's going to be a storm coming, and I prophesied to the leadership of our city, and it just began to unfold. Things began to unfold. Well, here we are way down the road from that particular year. You know, we're years down the road, but we're seeing the fulfillment of that word. It's happening as we speak right now. As a matter of fact, we were just speaking about the inflation and things that are happening to the dollar, what's happening in the world, how China's leaders coming to America to be able to say basically the dollar is historical now. It's actually, we need to base our economy of the world off the euro or the different economies that are out there. We're seeing laws passed that are contrary to God's way. I mean, just things are happening. 2 million people are unemployed in the country. Just great turmoil is just kind of quaking, and so many things against the ways of God are happening. And the question we want to know is, you know, we see all this, we see what's going on, and we heard. I encourage you to go to, you know, greglancasterministries.org, and see resources and look for prophecies, and under resources and prophecies, you can see these prophecies have been down, have been spoken about for some time. And you kind of get a good idea of what I'm talking about, but they're coming to pass. So what do you do when the boat's shaking? What do you do when the economy's teetering on the possibility of a huge correction to the point where a dollar is only worth 30 cents in the future? I mean, what do you do when it takes, you know, $2,700 to fill up a tank? Well, it used to take you, you know, like $50 to fill up a tank. What do we do with these things? I mean, what does God want us to do? And we're going to find out that, well, the first thing we have to do is that we have to realize, why is the storm here? I mean, storms come and storms go, but this particular storm, I mean, it has a name on it. It has a reason why it's here. And it's here because of sin, because of rebellion against the ways of God, because there's no justice. God's justice is not present. We're not calling out for his justice. And so what we have to do, we have to begin to deal with those actual aspects of our lives. And, you know, what was said in that prophetic word and what has actually happened and what we've seen happen almost demands us to do two things. One is to either bury our head in the sand of denial. And that's what a lot of people do, just bury their hand in denial until it reaches. And at that point, they run around screaming, hollering, they act shocked. You know, it's crazy how it works. Or it demands us, what, to prepare and to respond and work in the Lord's fields with him. Do you know that he says that if you're not with me, you're against me? And if you don't work with me, you actually oppose me? There's been a doctrine across the land that says, you know, you hire people to do the Lord's work. You go find you somebody to do the Lord's work, and you look at them and say, you're doing a good job, you're doing a bad job. No, every one of us who calls ourselves a believer, we're supposed to actually be in the work of the Lord, not opposing the work. And if we're not actually doing the work, guess what? Jesus said, we're opposing the work. And so what do we have to do? We have to begin first to acknowledge our sin. We talk about this in Chronicles, acknowledge our sin. Once we acknowledge that we've sinned, we repent from the sin. We humble ourselves, which is total dependency on God. We abide with Jesus, as he says in John 15, 1 through 10. We just spend our time with God, hearing what he says and following him. And then we cry out for justice. We cry out to God. First, we need to understand, though, if we're going to begin to cry out to God for justice, there's a reason why a lot of people don't cry out to justice, because they see themselves in the context of what they're doing. Now, I mean, you think about it. If a person knew they were going to get $1 million when they showed up somewhere, I mean, they would show up somewhere, unless there was something that prevented them from showing up. So they're not showing up. They're not at the judgment seat of God. If they're not approaching the throne of grace with boldness and calling out for justice, there's something going on inside of them that causes them to doubt their place in this equation for calling out for justice. But the reality is God waits for his people, for the people on the earth, to cry out to him for justice. And so justice does not come until we actually cry out for it. Think about that. So first of all, we need to understand God's justice. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I'm personally on my own personal journey, and I hope you join me on this journey as God begins to reveal different levels and the understanding of the depth of how just he is. And I'm hoping I can begin to communicate that. And the secret to a peaceful, joyful life, and a life that's filled with abundance, and to live a life how our designer designed it, is God's justice. And we'll talk about that. So crying out for God's justice, we first have to understand God's justice. We cannot cry out for something that we don't even understand. We're just doing a religious act. I guess he said, cry out for justice. Lord, I just want to cry out for justice today. You know how people do religiously. But if we're not confident, if we don't have faith and we don't understand it, we're not going to have faith in something we don't understand. And so we have to begin to personally understand that. So justice, what is justice? Justice basically is this: putting things back in their proper order. Putting them back in their proper order. I think about this, that in the Garden of Eden, when we had Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they took and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they weren't supposed to, they sinned against God, the fall of man happened. What was lost in the garden? Well, what was lost in the garden was a relationship with God. So now there was justice needed to be served in that, so man could have a relationship with God again. So what happened through Jesus Christ? What happened through Jesus Christ? God's justice was served, and by us receiving and accepting the way back, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ to the Father, we can have that relationship again. So that justice came through Jesus to put back in order what we lost in the garden. You see, that's the justice of God. You think about it, that justice came down hard. We'll talk more about that. Another example is this, is two parties, you know, that they have ought against each other, and they appear before a judge. And the reason why they appeal before a judge is because they both feel that they're right, and they need somebody to determine who's right amongst them. And the judge listens to the evidence, and he finds out that, you know, person A, you know, stole $100 from person B. So the judge says, you know, person A, give that $100 back to person B. That's the way it works. And what happens is things got put back in their order. The $100 that belonged to person B was given back by A to B. Does that make sense? It's just putting things back in their order again. Well, that's really important to understand, because if we see the whole nation and our whole families and our whole church out of order, then the only thing that's going to put it back in order is God come and bring an order to what is. And so we got to come in and say, wait a minute, then I need to know God's role in this. And is how does God bring things back to their original intention and their order? So if a person sold something or stole something, and the judge returns it to that particular person, if a person stole something from a person, and the judge has that person return it to the person it was stolen from, that's justice that's been served right there. Once this happens, it's to the rightful owner, we can say, hey, you know, justice was served. But when you think about prison and you think about jail, we've lost the reality of what that is. That's a correctional institution. It's not a place, hey, I want them to suffer for the cause of what it's like. What we believe is that a person's behavior can be corrected. So we send them to a correctional institution for 6 months, for 12 months, for 2 years, or for 10 years. But at some point, most of them are released again back to their life. Well, why would they be released again? Because justice was served, where the retribution took place, restitution took place in the actual courtroom. But now they want to be able to work justice into that person to help them begin to walk the way they were supposed to walk before they did this wrong thing. One good example is a parent tells a child, you need to make your bed up. And they don't make their bed up. And the parent says again the next week, I've told you you need to make your bed up. They don't make their bed up. Then all of a sudden, the parent gets in there and stands over them and says, I want you to make this bed up right now. And so they start making the bed up right then. And then they take them and they discipline them. And the discipline is not justice. Justice was the bed being made up. But making the discipline in them was to get the point, this is the right way to do things. Does that make sense? And so that discipline that happened to that child wasn't justice. Justice was putting that bed covers up the right way, putting the pillow in the right place, and folding all the covers up on the bed. So putting things back into order again. It's important also to explain that to your children if you're expecting, listen, the discipline is to help you remember justice. That this is the way things are supposed to happen. And to help you remember that, because now you stood over them and you made sure they made the bed, you're going to say, okay, now you're going to get, on restriction, you're going to get, I don't know, whatever the discipline will be, stand in the corner or whatever. And the Word of God says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Maybe it's even discipline in that particular area. So prison and jail is not justice. It is actually working justice into the heart of an individual that says, this is the way we do things in the society. But justice was served in the court situation where they said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life, $10,000 goes back into the person's hand again. But you can never, when a person walks out of a courtroom and they said, well, I know the person went to jail, but I still don't feel like I got justice. Well, the only one that gives us justice is God. That's what we're talking about, crying out to justice. And God will begin to put things back in their proper order, but justice can be worked into a person. Hebrews 12 says this. He tells us, you can look over another time, but he says, consider hardship as a discipline. God is working holiness in you. He's separating us from behaviors that we're not supposed to have, unrighteous behaviors. And he's like, this is the way you were designed. And so this is justice in your life. But separating those two things are important. So looking at God as a just God is very important because, first of all, God is just. He's not almost just. He's not partially just. When we understand the justice of God, it causes us to watch our, cross our T's and dot our I's in our life. Because you know what? At some point, he may call you to go back and make something right. So you might as well do it right now. He's so just that things that have happened 100 years ago or 200 years ago to a people, to a nation, to the First Nation people of America, for example. He's having his people go back and repent and say, listen, this was wrong what was done to you, and putting things back in their right order again. For example, we had so many murders that took place in around the Pensacola Hub in Escambia County, 30-something murders in 1 year. We went to each of those places and repented for the sin of murder because justice needed to be served, and we cried out for God's justice. We took it to the blood of Jesus Christ and we dealt with it at the cross, and then we cried out for God to bring justice to the situation. By the way, and people began to be arrested. You can see that on the prayer and fasting community since that prayer. Just God began to serve justice, which is pretty cool. And so God's very throne, his very throne, what he sits on, part of it is it's made from justice. That's how much justice is in him. So it's important for us to understand that. When I think about Psalms, you can write these scriptures down because I'm going to read a couple of scriptures real quick, but Psalms 9:16 says, the Lord is known by his acts of justice. He's known by his acts of justice. So how are we going to make God's name known? You want to be a great witness to the nation, a great witness to your church, to your relationships, what is going on? Say, God, I want you to be known in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my business, in my community. Think about it. What happens? Justice. Bam. Everybody goes, wow. I mean, you think about Ananias and Sapphira when they lied, right? They lied to the Holy Spirit. What happened? Justice. They fell dead, didn't they? And what happened? The fear of the Lord spread. And what happened? The church grew. Isn't that amazing how that works? It's when God moves in His justice, so that's not right. I mean, the fear, I mean, we get this understanding of His holiness and His righteousness and that He's so just, it makes us want to cry out to God and say, God, I want to be right before You. You know, Psalms 11:7 says, for the Lord is righteous, He loves justice. I mean, He loves justice. Not only is He known by His acts of justice, He loves justice. What does this mean? That when you see an injustice taking place, when you see abortion taking place, when you see a fatherless child that's lost his father, or lost his parents, her parents, his parents, you know, and you get in there to try to bring justice to that situation, He goes, I love this. I just love it. Isn't that awesome? But you know what? There's something inside of us we're going to talk about a little bit. If we don't deal with that thing inside of us, we're going to be scared, terrified to be able to ask for Him, His name to be known by His acts of justice. And the thing that He loves, we'll begin to avoid. I don't want any justice. Oh my goodness. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to me? Because I know if God's justice, well, hold on, we'll talk about it. Psalms 33:5, the Lord loves righteousness and judgment. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. He loves it. Psalms 56 says, and the heaven proclaims His righteousness, for He is a God of justice. I mean, He's a God of justice. You think about all the kings that were appointed. You think about how Moses was out there and he was in the wilderness with God's people. What was he doing? Every day they would bring cases to him. Listen, we have this issue, this happened, that happened. And Moses would say, you know, this is what you need to do. And he would bring a judgment over that situation so justice could be served. Did God talk negatively about the people that came to Moses for issues? No, He did not. It was not a big deal at all. God is a judge and He likes justice and He wants to be able to exercise justice in our lives, in our families, in our city. You look at the Word of God, He never was speaking negative about anybody that came to any of the kings that He established that were judges, and people would come and Solomon was wise and he would rule over a situation. He wanted people to receive justice in their life. He loves justice. He wants things to be made right in your life. He wants things to be worked out. It's okay for you. The thing is we're not supposed to go to man for justice. We're supposed to go to God for justice. This is not like, hey, I'm going to go hire me an attorney. I'm going to get me some justice going on here. No, it's going. Justice comes from God. We'll find out more about that. But that comes strictly from God, I'm talking about, not before man. And so Psalms 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundations of God's throne. Look at that. The foundations of His throne, His very throne, at the bottom of His throne, justice. It sits on justice. You think about when David was praising God in Psalms 101, verse 1, he says, I will sing of Your love and justice. What's he saying? He said, this thing looks bad right now, and I don't know how it's going to turn out with my own, but I know the justice of God is going to be served. I know that it looks out of order right now, and I know that it's out of order right now, but I'm holding on, and I'm praising God because He's a loving God, and He's a just God, and He's one that justifies, and He's going to bring justice in this situation. Sometimes we misunderstand with God's mercy. You know, He's holding on, waiting patiently for us to get things right. There comes a time when all of a sudden justice comes in that situation. Not judgment, but justice. You know, Psalms 103:6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. You know, I think about this, and you have to really understand God's heart and priorities when you think about, when you see somebody that, you think everybody in your community has a job, but there's one man that loses his job or one woman that loses their job. And because of that, they're experiencing oppression in their life and things are not working out right. Think about this, that if you make an effort to go and help that person get a job or bring food to them or put shoes on their feet, you understand God's going, oh my goodness, you understand me. You understand what my throne is established on. You are bringing my justice to that situation. To make sense. And so we have to understand how it works. So when we understand that God is a just God, we're very careful in what we do or say, understanding if something is done wrong in our life, he may send us back to make it right. You know, he says, if you stole, you know, go back and give it to somebody. Repay them what you stole from them. You think about it. That's how just he is. We're going to talk about the cross of Christ, but understand this, that he's just. He's a just God. You think about his justice. Look at Romans. Let's first go back to Romans chapter 3. The justice of God is so powerful that he demonstrated how just he really is with Jesus Christ, his own son. You think about this. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. He said, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by what? By faith. Say it again. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. The atonement comes by faith. And then he says this. He did this to demonstrate his justice. See? Wait a minute. Let's go back again. 25, Romans 3, verse 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So you see the faith that we had to, he offered up Jesus, and we're going to be made right, the atonement, through our faith in him doing and making things right, his justice being served. And he did this to demonstrate his justice. That's how just he is. Because in his forbearance, which means he just held back, he had left sin committed beforehand unpunished. It wasn't like they weren't going to get punished. He just said, hold on. I'm going to serve justice. I'm a just God. My throne sits on justice. People know me by my justice. I love justice. I'm just, in my wisdom, I'm just going to hold off and bring justice at a certain point. But I'm going to bring it full headlong. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going to come down, and justice is going to be served fully and completely because I'm a just God. And so in verse 26, he says, so he did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. You think about this, that when God thought of our sin that required him as a just God, as the just God that he is, to bring justice, he has us on his mind. Our mistakes, our failures that deserve, I mean, justice has got to be served. You know, he's a just God. And he begins to swing the gavel down and it's coming towards us, but then it's diverted by what? His son. And he takes the gavel and he says, bam, and serves all that justice and demonstrates that he's a just God. And he strikes his son. The full load of our sin and the full load of everything we've ever done wrong and all the sin of man that through his forbearance he just held back on him. He said, I've got to exercise justice because I'm a just God. And so he was exercising it at just the right time, it says. He offered up his son. Why? So he could demonstrate who he is, a just God. So when we understand that the justice of God is very important, that Jesus took the justice that was due us on himself. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. He says, for what the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by our sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man, sinful humanity, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin. Think about it. He condemned sin in men, in our human flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Think about it. It's like he served justice, the justice that was due us, on his son. He took the blows for us. He gave his life for us. And God took his life for our life, so he would be a ransom for us, that he would pay the price. And he fully met in us, through Jesus Christ, everything that's required of his justice. Think about that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by what? By faith. It's by faith. In verse 11, it says, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. What is this faith? It's faith that God is a just God, and he's so just, but yet he's so loving. He's so just, but yet he's so loving. How can he serve justice on the ones that he loved? Even though we were the objects of his wrath, he loved us. And my son, I'll give my son, and I'll take the full blows of justice. I'll exercise my justice, and I'll bring down your punishment and my punishment. I'll bring it down on Jesus, my son, and I'll strike him. And the justice of God was fully exercised in that. And the thing about it is that this is true in me if I believe it to be true. It's by faith I accept that. Wait a minute. God is just. I'm not nullified. He's not my fishing buddy upstairs. He's not some all these crazy things they talk about. No, God is holy, and he's righteous, and he's loving, and he's just. His throne sits on justice. He's known by his justice. We have to put a fear of God in us to understand, my goodness, he's just. You know, we cry out when Moses saw his sister Miriam get leprosy, he understood the justice of God and immediately began to intercede between her and the consequences of her rebellion against his leadership, because he knew at any moment, God's justice, because God said that's just like spitting on me, that God could just take her out. He knew the justice of God. But it's by faith that we understand this. And so in Romans 5, I think about this, Romans 5, verse 9 and 11, it says, since we have been justified by Jesus' blood, we should much more actually understand that we've been saved from God's wrath by Jesus. We've been saved from God's wrath by Jesus. In chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace in which we now stand. We're thinking about this now in the context of God's justice, because we're going to need to begin to cry out for God's justice, but we're not going to cry out for God's justice if we don't understand what God's justice was already served on us. Therefore, understanding this, understanding God's justice that was due us was served, but instead of on us, it was served on Jesus. Jesus took our place. And it is our faith in this truth that protects us from the judgment of God. It's our confidence and our surety and our certainty in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So when we cry out for God's justice, we're doing so in faith, knowing that our judgment, which was due us, was already taken care of by Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? You see, you're going to understand, this is going to cause Jesus to be magnified in your heart, to understand how awesome he is. How awesome he is and what he did, and that the God's justice was served on his own son. Your sentence, my sentence, that we should have served, which should have been death, Jesus took on himself. So God did not stop being a just God. He demonstrated his justice through Jesus Christ. And he put back in order what we lost in the garden, the relationship with God. He put that back in order through his son, Jesus Christ, that we can have a relationship with him through our faith in Jesus Christ. So we can boldly approach the throne of grace with boldness to receive grace and mercy in our time of need, which means at that point, we can actually begin to cry out for justice. Putting things back in order, learning how to walk in confidence of this is very important, the confidence of what I'm talking about. And what is the confidence? The first confident thing is that your sin, my sin, which deserved death, required death, but Jesus' life was given for it. So our sin has been taken care of in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we who believe are children of God, we're in the family of God, and we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're in the family of God. You're not some stranger calling from outside the house, looking in the window, saying, hey, God, do you mind? You're his son. You're his daughter. You're an heir of him, and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and he's looking for you to take dominion of the earth and cry out to him and say, bring your justice. Bring your right order to my life. Bring your right order to my marriage. Bring your right order to my family, to my community, to the church, to the nation, to the world. Send and bring your justice, God, for you are God. You see? You have to understand that. We don't fear justice or hesitate to ask God to bring justice or exercise His justice in our life or our family or our community or our church or our leadership or our nation and the world. We don't even fear punishment because it's already been taken care of on the cross. But again, our understanding causes us to walk in the fear of the Lord and deal with anything that's in our heart that's not right before the Lord. If we are hesitant or fearful, we're forgetting or maybe not even knowing or understanding just how awesome, yet horrific, what God did by giving His Son and exercising His judgment, His justice on Him. Think about it. It was a horrific thing that took place with the cross. It wasn't just Jesus dying. It was Jesus taking on God, His Father's justice. He deserved nothing. We deserved that. But He said, listen, serve their justice on me. And so by us hesitant, the enemy's trying to steal this revelation from the church. By us hesitating, we're saying, listen, I don't believe your justice was served on the cross. I don't believe. I think there's still something in my life. I need to do some works. There's something I got to do to add to what was already done. My filthy rags are going to be better than what Jesus did on the cross. You see, you think about it. It's faith. It's faith. It's confidence and surety in the justice of God being fully served through Jesus Christ. Because He's looking for you to start crying out for justice. Your family's falling apart. Your church is falling apart. Your nation's falling apart. The world's falling apart. And you're scared to go, bring your justice. Because the enemy is trying to cause you to doubt what God has done on the cross. And so you think about it. To not love God's justice is to say His order, His design, His purpose for creation is not right. It's just putting things back in their order. We had no problem understanding that if this thief stole $100 from this particular victim, give the $100 back. And we go, that's right. Well, if God says, hey, marriage is between a man and a woman, and we're saying everything else, we're going, listen, our way is different than God's way, and our way is right. And He goes, no, this is marriage. When He says that a baby shall live in the womb, boom, it shall live in the womb. If He says sexual impurity is wrong, then we leave sexual impurity and come back to a pure life. And that's what God wants us to do, to come to the cross and say, listen, this has got to leave my life. If He says the media that you're watching, the things that you're doing, the things that you're touching and going is wrong, you turn back away from that and get back to the original design. If not, if we say, listen, if we're hesitant, if we say we don't love God's justice, this is what we're really saying now that we begin to understand, is that my way is better than God's way. My way is right, God's way is wrong. God just don't understand. God is changing. He's evolving. His time, that's an old-fashioned gospel that you're preaching. No, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's us that has changed, and we have to repent and come back to God. His justice needs to be served in our life, in our nation. And Hebrews 12 tells us that even though it isn't pleasant at the time when we're going through hardship and discipline and adjustments, but it's painful, when it's completed, it brings us back to a place of peace, a place of God's order. Truly, there's nothing sweeter than judgment's aftermath. You know, you think about it, that when somebody sits there for a long period of time and they don't discipline a young child, and finally the child gets disciplined, though the discipline was kind of rough at the time, if it was successful discipline, there's like the big release, a big release in that situation. If you have an employee that you haven't dealt with, and you hadn't dealt with this employee, but finally, you know, everybody in the office is in an uproar with this particular employee, that employee's dealt with, that was doing that, and justice is served, there's this peace that settles in the office again. That's the way it works. But it doesn't seem pleasant at the time. But we have to be willing to say, you know what? God, if I'm out of order in my life, if I'm out of order, if the church is out of order, if we're not in your order, we want to be in your order. Your order is right. What comes first, what comes second, what comes third? Let every man be a liar and God be the truth. And I hear things being spoken today, people that I love and I respect, and I think, my goodness, that's contrary to the order of God, what you're saying. God's order doesn't say that. His word doesn't say that. And my spirit says, oh, I don't want to go that route. It's out of, you know, that's all I need is disorder in my life. We have to be cautious. Don't let anybody lead you out of God's disorder, because justice is going to be served at some point to bring things back in order again. So to seek God's justice is to say, God, you're right. You know, why would two people who present their case before a judge they don't even really know, and because there's hoping that this person they don't even know is going to bring justice in their life, and that whole case they're bringing before a secular judge. Well, we know God, and we're bringing a case before a awesome God who is justice itself, and he's going to put things right back in their order again. Isn't that awesome? That's totally awesome. Because I really, I'm through this teaching, I want to get you to start thinking about, wait a minute, you know, and God, I want to understand your justice. I want to understand it in my life, in my family, in my nation, everywhere. And I want to be one that cries out for your order. Your order. I want your order. You know, we may be so far gone in some areas that we don't even really understand his order, but we get to cry out for it. He'll begin to open our eyes. The word of God will come alive in our life, and then all of a sudden we'll just begin to start saying, hey, this is the right way to go. This is the right way to go with this. This is the right way to go with this. But to me, it's sort of like Mark Twain. You know, he says, it's not the things in God's word I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things that I do understand. There's some things that are so plain as day that the church just kind of writes off as like, you know, that order's no more. Well, if you write off those two pages, what about the other pages? You know, if you write off that book, what about this book? And if you write off this, what about John 3:16? If you write off, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, that just, like, it's like, my goodness, why don't we just say, wait a minute, God, you're right. You're right. And by your grace and in view of your mercy, and I encourage you to get the cross of Christ, the teaching on it, to understand the power and what he's done, and by our confidence in his finished work on the cross, that he empowers us to begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. And it's very key to understanding this, that if you're trying to get your way out of wrong patterns of behavior, you cannot do that in your own strength, but you can take that to the cross of Christ, begin to cry out and understand what his finished work on the cross of Christ. And there's a teaching in the archives, and you can get that at vfnfamily.org, the cross of Christ. Now, look at Luke chapter 18. Isn't this good? You think about it. Oh, my goodness, I got to start. Because, the things are shaking, and, yeah, you did, God, tell us that this time was coming to the earth, and it was because of sin and darkness have come on the earth, and people have left your ways. And now we're finding out where our role is in this. Our role is like, oh my goodness, I've got to deal with my sin. I got to acknowledge it. I got to begin to cry out for righteousness and seek God's order in my life. So understanding the truth of God's justice causes us to seek to know his ways. Somebody says, you know, I don't have time to read the Bible, but I just love God. Do you want to know his ways? If you did read the Word of God, you'd find out he loves justice. He loves his order in our life. What's that mean? He expects us to be a disciple of his. He wants us to learn his ways and walk in them. But he also wants us to know that what makes us right and right before him is the finished work on the cross of Christ. And then he empowers us to walk this walk. Look at Luke chapter 18. This is the main one I want to talk about to understand, because Jesus is explaining to us about a lady here that cries out for justice. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray, say that, always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. I mean, he didn't fear God. He didn't care what people thought. And this particular woman just kept coming, this widow, and just said, grant me justice. Think about that. Grant me justice. Verse 4, this is Jesus talking. God saying, let me explain to you the justice of God. This is what he's doing, because he didn't do nothing and say nothing unless the Father told him. He says, explain to them my justice, you know. And so he's telling us, this is what I want you to do. I want you to cry out, just like this widow cried out. Verse 4 says, for some time this judge refused to give her justice. But he finally said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice. What's that mean? Something was done wrong to her. Something was out of order. something needs to be put back in its order again. He says, I'm going to see that things get back in order again in her life. So that she won't eventually come and attack me. This wild woman, she just demanded, I better go ahead and give her what she wants. Get her out of here. And listen to what he says right here. Verse 6. And then the Lord said, listen to what this unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Who cry out, there it is, who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that you get justice and quickly. Think about that. And quickly. But this should make sense to you now, this one verse I'm about to read. However, will the Son of Man, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? What does it have to do with it? Because you won't cry for justice. Do you understand by faith that justice was served on the cross for you? You'll be terrified of it because you don't understand how horrific what took place on the cross. But when you understand that, it's done. It's finished. And God wants me now to begin to cry out because he says right here, he says, in the very last part of this, he says, listen to what this unjust judge says, verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? If this jerk of a judge, who could care less about me, he said, or care about what people think about him, if he'll give this woman who was persistent and kept crying out for justice, if she'll get justice, would not God give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? What does that mean? Listen, you just don't pray once every day. You're just going, Lord, bring justice. Bring justice to this political system in our nation. Bring justice to the executive branch, to the legislative branch, to the judicial branch. Bring justice to our churches, God. Bring justice, Lord, to our economy. Bring justice to marriage and to family, God. Bring justice to the soil of our land. What are we saying? God, put it back in order. It's all whack. It's all out of order. It's all over the place. But we're crying out, Lord, put the pieces back together again. And he says, but with the key to us getting justice from God is to cry out for justice, which means this. If we're not like this persistent widow, if we're too terrified to even ask God for justice, guess what's not going to happen? Justice is not going to come. Things are not going to get worse and worse and worse instead of getting better and getting better and getting better. And then he says, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? What he's saying is, listen, it takes faith in me and what I did on the cross for you to understand. I'm expecting you to call out for justice. I took the blows for you. Justice was served. Look at my hands, the holes in my hand, the thorn holes in my head and the holes in my feet. The sword piercing my side, justice was served. It's served. That's why he's so awesome. That's why when we get to heaven, we're shouting around him going, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, because he took the justice that was due us, and he totally took it. So God's justice, he's the just God, and he's the one that justifies, was served at just the right time to demonstrate to us that's who he is. Now he's looking for us to cry out. It requires faith in God's justice and the understanding of the work of the cross for us to cry out for justice. Getting things back in order, we got to begin to cry out for God's justice for our own lives. Every day we're dealing with sin. If something happens at that moment, we deal with it. We put it under the blood. God, forgive me for that thought. Forgive me for the act. And we deal with that. Why? Because we will understand the cross of Christ. We understand that we have an advocate with the Father. We understand that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And it puts us in a place for what? For crying out for justice. We got to cry out for justice for our marriages, for our children, for our parents, for our churches, for the church government, the church leadership, for secular government, the executive branch, the president, the legislature branch, the Congress, the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, for sexual perversion in the land, justice towards adultery, justice towards homosexuality, justice towards the media that's filled with sexual perversion. You got people complaining about what their kids are watching, but they're just watching the next level of sexual perversion that their parents watched. God, bring justice. Bring justice to all of this. For children, children that are murdered in their mother's womb. God, bring justice to these children who don't even have a voice out there. What are we crying out for? We cry out for God's justice in these areas. What are we crying out for? for the same thing we had to do ourselves, for them to turn to Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Remember, he says he saw, the scriptures foresaw, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that they cannot be justified by their works. Because that the righteous are what? By faith. What? By faith. It's by faith. So we're crying out for justice. We're not saying, hey, go kill somebody. No. We're crying out for God's justice. We're saying, when you touch their hearts, that they would turn to Jesus like we did. And that they would be forgiven as we were. And that they would be in the family as we are. And that they would be empowered as you're empowering us, Holy Spirit, to walk in the ways of God. We're not talking about judgment. We're talking about justice. We're not trying to write somebody off. We're saying, Lord, we want them written in. But something has to turn. Something has to change. And so we're crying out. We're crying out for justice. We're saying for the same thing to be done to them that we had to do, for them to turn to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For the only way they'll be justified is the same way that we were justified, which is them and their faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. They're not going to all of a sudden just stop sinning and all of a sudden there's justice in them. No, they've got to turn to Jesus. Even their good works and walking the right way won't change things. They have to turn to Jesus. And God says, there it is. That's right. The only way you can do that is through my son, Jesus Christ. And things begin to turn. We're not saying destroy people. We're saying repent. That's what we're saying. We're saying, God, we know that you're good. We're saying that you are right, God. We're saying that your ways are best, that you can put me or my marriage or marriage in general or my children or my parents or the church or church government or secular government, you can put it all back in order again the way you designed it to be. You see what I'm saying? It's just like a moving of the chess pieces or the checker pieces on the board. Get them back in their places again. What does that order look like? Well, you think about it. When you read the Word of God, he tells us in the Bible what the order is. But just even looking at God's justice in a nation, what happens when a nation turns back to God? Well, it honors and acknowledges God. Instead of pulling God's Ten Commandments down and taking his name off of everything and arresting people who bow their head to acknowledge his existence, all of a sudden he's honored again in his reverence towards God. That the laws are removed that are contrary to what he says. And that God is placed in the center of our lives again in a nation. It means that the Bible that our politicians lay their hands on to be sworn into office, they actually open it up and do what it says before God. God's justice in our church leadership, what does that mean? It means leaders with pure motives, loyalty to God and the flock, leading by example in their life, protecting the flock, making disciples of God's people to follow God's ways. God, what is God's justice in family? Well, Jesus Christ is the center of that family. Husbands, they're the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Wives are actually submitting to their husbands, and children are submitting to their parents, and fathers are training their children up in the way they should go. That's God's pattern. That's his order coming back to family again. God's justice with children, again, obeying the parents, listening to the father's wisdoms, following the mother's teachings, honoring their parents, in the Lord. That's God's order again. When you're calling out for justice. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. We see the storm is evident. It's happening. Read it. Read that God said this is going to happen. But it's judgment coming to a land for the purpose of what? Bringing God's justice to the land. Putting things back in order. He's not wanting to write us off. He's wanting to write us in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's wanting people to turn back to his ways. His ways are right. He's just. His throne sits on the foundation of justice. He's known by his acts of justice, and he loves justice. We need to begin to say, God, if I'm going to love you, I'm going to love your justice. Let it happen, God. It's already started. It's coming because of the sin, but we understand our key is to acknowledge this sin, to repent of this sin, humble ourselves, as we said earlier, abide with the Lord according to John 15, 1 through 10. And begin to cry out for his order to come into our life and the life of the nation and everything in between. If an evil judge responded to a woman's consistent cry for justice, you know the loving God. You can know this, that he'll respond because he's a just God. and he's the one that justified. And he justifies, and he demonstrated it. He demonstrated just how just he is. At just the right time, he offered up his son for you and for me and for whoever wants a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 21:15 says, when justice is done, when it happens, when justice is done, it brings joy. It brings joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. Do you want joy back in your life again? Say, God, let your justice rain down like the teachings of Moses. Let your order come into my life. Let your order come into my marriage. I'm ready just to leave every way that's not your way. I don't care if I end up alone. I want to walk in your ways. What happens? Joy comes. But in between joy and that confession could be what? Some adjustment taking place. Some lessons being learned and righteousness or justice being worked in us so that we walk in that way. Holiness. And finally, Proverbs 29:26. Many seek an audience with a ruler. If I could just get a good attorney. If I could just get to that judge. If I could just get to so-and-so. See, many people seek an audience like that. But it is from the Lord that one gets justice. It's God. We need to begin to cry out for justice. Listen, the question that he said when everything was falling apart in Israel is this. He said, no one cries out for justice. No one calls for justice. What did Jesus say when he started talking about this lady who cried out for justice? He ended it, says, but will the Son of Man, when he returns, will he find anybody who has faith enough to do what? To cry out for God's way of doing things, for justice in the land. Let's bow our head. Father God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I just cry out now, Lord. I say, justice. Let your justice come, Lord. Lord, in view of your mercy, Lord God, and understanding of your grace and what your finished work was on the cross. And Jesus, I just thank you for taking on the justice of Father and dealing with that situation in behalf of us and interceding between us to bring us back in relationship again with the Father. You know, I want repeat after me, everybody that's listening and watching this teaching, say, Dear Father, forgive me for not understanding that your justice was fully served on the cross. You're a just God, and you're the one who justifies. You've always been a just God. And Lord, I ask you now, I cry out now, for your justice. Let your justice come to my family. Let your justice come to my church. Let your justice come to my city. Let your justice come to my nation. Let your justice come to the earth. For you are right, and your ways are right, and you are good. In Jesus' name.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to vfntv.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to vfntv.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV,
where we're keeping the conversation light.
For more information, go to vfntv.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.